Lori's Shiguro and she Guranga Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasad Vidaya Srimati Bhakti Vidaya Swami Tanavana Namaste Sarasatam Deva Gauravani Vikarne Nirvishesha Kinkvada Vasakya Om Agana Tivanandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamaya Padati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shri Gurau Shri Yudhapara Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Shri Shri Rupam Sagarjatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Virina Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Dvitam Scha Hey Krishna Karna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tata Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Krishna Bhanda Siddhi Devi Pranamami Hari Kriye Panchakapa Dhruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Padinanam Bhavane Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pramitinanda Shri Advaita Vidadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Chapter 6, Conversation Between Narada and Vyasadeva, text number 12. I'm just going to read the translation. I'll just read the Sanskrit translation, because I have to leave at before a quarter after. Chitradatu vichitradin iha bhoga bhagana bhagna buja buja drumam Jala Shayan Shiva Jalam Nalini Sura Sevita Chitra Swanai Patra Ratar Vibramad Brahmarastriya. So there's Narada Muni continuing. I passed through hills and mountains full of reservoirs of various minerals like gold, silver, and copper, and through tracts of land with reservoirs of water filled with beautiful lotus flowers, fit for the denizens of heaven, decorated with bewildered bees and singing birds. Text 13. I then passed alone through many forests of rushes, bamboo, reeds, sharp grass, weeds, and caves, which were very difficult to go through alone. I visited deep, dark, and dangerously fearful forests, which were the plague yards of snakes, owls, and jackals. Purport. It is the duty of a mendicant, Paribhajakacharya, to experience all varieties of God's creation by traveling alone through all forests, hills, towns, villages, etc., to gain faith in God and strength of mind, as well as to enlighten the inhabitants with the message of God. A sannyasi is duty-bound to take all these risks without fear, and the most typical sannyasi of the present age is Lord Chaitanya, who traveled in the same manner through the central Indian jungles, enlightening even the tigers, bears, snakes, deer, elephants, and many other jungle animals. In this age of Kali, sannyas is forbidden for ordinary men. One who changes his dress to make propaganda is a different man from the original ideal sannyasi. One should, however, take the vow to stop social intercourse completely and devote life exclusively to the service of the Lord. The change of dress is only a formality. Lord Chaitanya did not accept the name of a sannyasi, and in this age of Kali, the so-called sannyasis do not change their former names, following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. In this age, devotional service of hearing and repeating the holy name, glories of the Lord is strongly recommended. One who takes the vows to renunciation of family life need not imitate the Paribhujakacharya like Narada or Lord Chaitanya, but may sit down in some holy place and devote his whole time and energy to hear and repeatedly chant the holy scriptures left by the great acharyas like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishdaya Budaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Janamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Prasharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Bhaskajade Siddharana. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna defines the principal qualities for sannyas. He says, Abhayam Sattvasam Sudhir Jnana Yoga Vivyastiti. That is, sannyas principally, isn't it? The qualities that one should have are abhayam, fearlessness. One should have faith, as mentioned here, that there is a supreme person in the heart, a super soul, and the super soul knows what we need, and he'll always protect us, even in the remotest jungles. He'll provide what we need. Abhayam sattva sam shudir. So sattva, be established in the quality of purification. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed that, although he was not averse or antagonistic towards ladies, still the ladies did not approach him, but only saw him from a distance. So one has to maintain purity in one's relationship. And jnana yoga, one has to have knowledge of the Supreme Personality of God. Sannyas, especially in this age, or previously here, as mentioned, the Paribhujakacharyas. There are four stages of sannyas, Bahudak, Kudachak, Paribhujakacharya, and Paramahansa. So the Paribhujakacharya stage is the stage of traveling in order to gain experience. Bahudak, Kudachak. There is some detachment from the family, but still there is not dependence on Krishna. One lives perhaps in a cabin, and the family brings the food that one needs every day. But still one is not living with the family. But Paribhujakacharya means to travel, being dependent upon Krishna. We can't find out that Krishna is dependable unless we try and depend upon him. Just like in book distribution. If one goes out in book distribution, there's no one else to depend upon. One may think oneself to be a very expert, a good talker, a good salesman. But one will find trying to sell ancient Indian books in downtown Melbourne to people going out shopping is probably not what they went out shopping for. Oh yeah, that's right. I came down, I was looking for some store that sold an ancient Indian book. Is it at least 5,000 years old or else I wouldn't buy it? So one has to depend upon Krishna, and without Krishna's sending the right people, without generating the right, giving us the right intelligence, generating the right enthusiasm, the right detachment, etc., it becomes very difficult to sell a book. So that dependency upon Krishna has to be developed. We weren't born dependent upon Krishna. And our training generally in the material world is not to depend upon Krishna, it's to depend upon everything else but Krishna. But the Paribhujakacharyas, they go out in the Vedic culture even, and they'd have to depend upon Krishna. Madhukari, one would go door to door. You wouldn't even collect enough food to feed yourself from one family. You just get a very tiny bit from each family. So, if everyone is on vacation and you go door to door and no one's home, then you might become hungry. And if they're on vacation for a week, it might get difficult. So you have to depend upon Krishna that he's actually going to supply the necessities. Of course, the whole idea is not simply to starve oneself and to live a very austere life. The idea is to depend upon Krishna. Because when we're chanting Hare Krishna, the effect that we're going to get from the chanting is going to depend upon how much we actually depend upon Krishna. As it is said, that balasya neha sharanam pitaro nrsingha naratasya chagadam padanvato namajatel now taptasya tat pratividir ihandrishesas tvadvido tanubritam tvad upekshitana. Pralamar says that balasya neha sharanam pitaro nrsingha. So the parents, it'd be very nice. They may try to protect their child, but still the child may die. The doctor and the medicine may be very good, but still the patient may die. A very strong boat may be on the water, like the Titanic, but still it may sink. Therefore, all the different remedies that we have, they're not going to be effective unless Krishna wills that they're going to be effective. And if he wills they're not going to function, they won't function. Of course, we shouldn't think Krishna's sitting around just flipping coins whether this person lives or dies. Whether the child lives or dies at a young age will also depend upon their past activities. Whether the boat sinks or not will depend upon the karma connected with the passengers and with the boat itself. Similarly, the doctor and the medicine are not sufficient generally to overcome the karma connected with the patient. But in any case, even if the child lives to a ripe old age, to adulthood, even if the medicine is effective and the person is cured, even if the boat makes it across the ocean, still the day will come that the boat will have to be abandoned. The day will come when the patient will grow old and die. And similarly, the child will also grow old and die. There is no ultimate remedial measure against old age, disease, and death. We may temporarily try to protect ourselves from these inevitable problems, but there is no permanent remedy against them. Therefore, the only remedy is to become Krishna conscious and get out of the material world. Like Prashradra, who's guarding the cows in Treta Yuga. He was the son, grandson of Manu, prince. But different princes had different duties, and it was considered to be a very worthy duty because they were Kshatriyas. They had to protect something. No war, no enemy. So they were protecting the cows. He was protecting the cows against the tigers. I guess they didn't build electric fences there to keep everyone employed. So he was employed protecting the cows with a sword. Those of you who have to build an electric fence and you have to have a manufacturing, and then if people have to build the fence and maintain the fence and generate electricity, and by the time you're done, no one has any time to chant Hare Krishna. Too busy building things to protect the cows, and the cows walk into the fence and get electrocuted anyway. You just wasted human life and killed the cows. So life is simpler. You may wonder in Treta Yuga, if they were so intelligent, so advanced, why didn't they build atomic bombs to kill each other? Well, because they were more advanced than we are. They didn't want to waste their time doing such foolish things. So he's standing there with a sword in his hand, protecting the cows, and then there was the new moon. New moon means that there was no moon. There was no light in the sky. Thomas Edison wasn't born yet, so they didn't build light bulbs. Of course, interesting, even the light bulbs, the first light bulbs they manufactured were perpetual. They wouldn't go out. They wouldn't. But then they figure if they never go out, we manufacture the light bulbs once, and then there's no more need to manufacture any more light bulbs, and we don't make any money from the factory. So they decided to make light bulbs that only last for so many hours, and then they go out, they don't work anymore, so they can manufacture more. Not that they couldn't manufacture light bulbs, they did manufacture light bulbs that didn't go out, but that wasn't good for business. So similarly for the rest of society, for the rest of the manufacturing, everything is planned obsolescence. It has a certain number of years and then it breaks down and you throw it away. And the garbage piles up, so the garbage becomes more or less, there's no room for anyone to live because there's only garbage. Or you live in the garbage. And that's progress. That's modern advancement. Before people used to live in clean, with clean air, fresh water, fresh food, peaceful life, but now we've become advanced. So there is no fresh water. There's no clean air. There's no fresh food. There's no peaceful life. That's advancement. And if you keep on telling people enough, because people have lost their intelligence, they think, oh yes, that makes perfect sense. All this fresh air. We don't get the essential chemicals, like the 2,500 essential chemicals that you breathe every day from the factory to sustain life, or to shorten it. Actually, we may shorten our lives, but that's good because human beings are the ones who are causing all the destruction. So if we kill everyone, then the whole world will become very peaceful. There won't be all these human beings to go around making everything contaminated. So people have lost their intelligence and they've forgotten what the aim of life is. And therefore, they're etam drishtim avashtabhya neshtat manona buddhya pravam nigra karmana shaye jagato hita. Following such conclusion, lost to themselves, they create horrible and beneficial works which are meant to destroy the world. Therefore, when we read in the Bhagavatam that in Treta Yuga, there is a prince standing there with a sword, we shouldn't think, oh, how primitive. Why didn't he get a normal job? Why didn't he get a gun? He could have shot everything. They were too primitive. They only had a sword. It proves that they were less intelligent. But he was standing there, and because it was a new moon, he couldn't see anything, and he heard the cow scream. A tiger had come to attack the cow, so he swung his sword, and he heard his shriek. The tiger ran away. But the next morning, he discovered that actually, he had killed a cow. He had cut off the head of a cow, and he had cut the nose of the tiger, so the tiger ran away. His spiritual master, Vasishtha Muni, came and saw that his disciple had killed a cow. Somehow or another, Vasishtha Muni was in a bad day that day. He had a bad day. He woke up on the wrong side of the mat. He cursed his disciple that in the next lifetime, because you have killed a sudra, you're going to become because you had killed a cow, you're going to become a shudra. Vishadra took this seriously, went into the forest, spent his whole life in Krishna consciousness, went back to the spiritual world, and avoided the curse of becoming a shudra. So though he was destined to become in a degraded life in his next lifetime, but he avoided it by going back to the spiritual world. So, similarly, sannyas, or any kind of elevation, is meant to help one go back to the spiritual world. It's not simply meant as a formality, but to depend upon Krishna. The more one depends upon Krishna, the more one can avoid all the problems of material existence. Prashada was cursed, but he depended upon Krishna and solved his problem. So similarly, we're supposed to depend upon Krishna. And that takes some knowledge and experience, and then by purification, by getting a higher taste, then one becomes fearless. So fearlessness is the highest platform of self-realization when there is, we chant the holy name, and then we take shelter of Krishna, then there is no more fear. Abhinivesita. Abhinivesita. Vayam dvitiya abhinivesitasya isharapatasya viparya smriti. That in the material world, when we turn our back to Krishna, when we turn away from Krishna, then naturally there is fear. Because when we forget Krishna, we misidentify ourselves with this temporary, miserable material world. And naturally, one becomes fearful of what the future holds. Now we're suffering, we're afraid of suffering even more in the future. So one who's not fearful and is not Krishna conscious, then he's the fool. Because he doesn't see what there is to be fearful about. An intelligent person, he asks, why am I suffering? And how to avoid the suffering? Why am I presented with the threefold miseries? And one who's faced with the threefold miseries and doesn't care about them, simply says, I can't care less, that let me go deeper into material life and suffer even more, then he's a fool. So not to be a fool takes some knowledge, and part of the knowledge is to understand how the material nature works and how one cannot surpass the material energy without taking shelter of Krishna. Daiviyesha gunamayi mama maya dharatya mameva ye prapadante mayam ekam taramtite. The material nature is not possible to overcome by oneself. Only those who take shelter of Krishna can cross beyond it. Therefore, the transcendentalists, they put themselves in a position where they're forced to depend upon Krishna, and that way they're forced to make spiritual advancement. And those who spend their whole life trying to protect themselves in so many different ways from the material miseries, on what to speak of modern society, where they take all kinds of intoxication, and their very medicine is meant to just suppress any kind of symptoms that are there. The fire is raging in your house and the bells are ringing to alert the fire department. So what's the solution? Well, you take the shades, you take them down so the neighbors don't see your house is on fire, and cut off the alarm so people don't, you're not embarrassed that your house is on fire. It's not a very good solution. Just turn off the alarm and then you go back to sleep. Oh, it was disturbing, all this alarms going off. So similarly, in the material world, trying to suppress all the symptoms of the miseries and problems of life is not a good idea. They won't go away, but when they do reappear after trying to suppress them, they reappear in a way which is even more intense and virulent. The transcendentalists, they try to depend upon Krishna, so they give up all the normal shelters that people think is so important, the house, the car, everything, the alarm bells, whatever else. And that way they depend upon Krishna and they find out that Krishna is dependable. And so that even at the hour of death, they've learned how to depend upon Krishna. So even in the greatest difficulty, one can depend upon Krishna. What is that word? What is that verse with the greatest difficulty? Even in the greatest difficulty. Otherwise, if one is taking shelter of so many things during this lifetime, then at the hour of death, one will still try to take shelter of them. Deha patya kala tradishu atma sanyeshu satsupi pesham pramato nidhanam pashana pina pashati. One thinks that my body, my wife, my children, and so on, these are my atma sanyeshu. They're my fallible soldiers. They'll protect me. But at death, when the Yamadutas come to bring us to our next place, then my wife, what can she do? Offer them some, you know, money from our account. The dog will growl at them. They won't be very impressed. A wife and children may not even see them as they're dragging the soul away. The body is there. They're all crying for the body. But the poor soul has gone to hell. And the wife and children are left to divide up the estate. And of course the dog also. So this is not the purpose of life. It is suggested, as Prabhupada says, at a certain time of life, that one should retire and hear and chant about Krishna. Not that one spends the rest of the time accumulating money so that the grandchildren will get something. So they can become, you know, hippies and take drugs. They get their supply of heroin every day. So that's not the purpose of life. One should retire so one can hear about and chant about Krishna. So Prabhupada says it's not necessary to take sannyas, to go into the forest, to travel, but one should go to a holy place or some place and spend one's time to absorb mind in Krishna, and that way actually make one's life successful. So I'm going to stop there, so I have to go to the embassy. We'll continue on tomorrow. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.